It's Thursday, and that means it's time to talk to a professional who would never forget a name.
So, I wish your son Miller all the best.
My name is Noah!
Why? Because his voice is so velvety smooth.
Yo, Manella, kick it one time, boy.
It makes the girls go...
Oh, my.
He's a rapper so fly.
So, if you want sports talk that's more than just a score, you gotta listen to Wade on KD Country 94. We got the tunes that'll make you shake and bake. Z96.3, The Lake.
He makes Eminem wanna cry. It's the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Heaney.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Right now, on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie at 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.
Why, yes, it is the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Heaney, today on the Sports Ticket. Brian, how are you, man?
Hey, Wade, that was awesome, my friend. I'm doing wonderful. Love it that my main man, Miller, got to chime in on that. That's so cool. And all the editing and the script that you wrote, that's impressive stuff. That's easily the best opening, montage slash introduction music I've ever had on any show I'm doing. So thank you so much. And thanks to everybody over there at Anderson Insurance. I bet they're fired up to have a new open like that.
Absolutely, man. It's fantastic. I was able to get my wife into that intro, also my son, and I have some fun with you as well. And I had a lot of fun putting that together. I told my guys over here, I go, it came to me the other night. I was my 4-year-old son. Sometimes I do my best thinking when I'm laying down at night and I can't fall asleep. And I have a friend of mine, he has a sports program as well, and they've got some catchy intros for a regular guest. And I'm like, I haven't put together something for Brian. I need to do that. And then it all kind of finally came together. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thanks, man. That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. We might mix it up down the line and change it every once in a while. Brian Heaney, the voice of Jayhawks, with us, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency, as you heard. Okay, so we'll jump into it, and that's the game against Oklahoma. Certainly the story is a lot about the free throw shooting with Doak, and you and I have talked about this week in and week out that, that's something he's working on, and it will need to get better. And I think there's a couple things that surprised me, and I want to see if you are surprised as well or if you maybe saw this coming. I've thought during the year that somebody would do the poke a Doak strategy, whatever you want to call it. And I thought Baylor might do it when they're up 6 in that situation in Lawrence, and then Ozebuki missed 2 late in the game. I thought they might do it. They didn't. And then I also, when it was employed the other night by Lon Kruger, I was surprised that Bill Self didn't put Lightfoot in, at least for a possession, to see how that would change things. And after the game, the instant reaction was, well, Bill Self, what is he doing? He's lost his mind. Why didn't he make a change? And I took a step back and I thought, well, what is Bill Self maybe thinking? And what I said, and I sent it to Chad over here, I have proof of it, I told him that Bill Self's probably thinking, I'm going to need Doak, maybe in March in the NCAA tournament, late in the game, to make free throws, so I got to see how he's going to handle this situation better now than wait till March and find out. Those were things that were going through my head, and then he kind of said that after the game. So are you, one, surprised that other coaches haven't done this sooner? And two, are you surprised that Coach Self didn't take Udoka out in that situation?
I'd say yes and yes, but I think Coach Self has handled it so well post-game, not just in his immediate discussions with the media and with Greg Gurley on our post-game show, but yesterday in Hawk Talk and the TV interview that we did with him for Spectrum Sports. He's taken it all in stride, and I said this on the post-game, the sign of a true Hall of Fame coach, there's many attributes that make you a Hall of Famer, but the real great ones, the ones that deflect praise and credit when the good times are rolling in and everybody's throwing roses at you, and they accept blame and faults in the bad times when things didn't go the way you thought, and that's Bill Self to a T right there in the way he handled the situation. He, I thought, had the most interesting commentary on it when he told Greg right after the game that back in his Tulsa coaching days, there was an NBA GM that saw him pull a guy with about 3 minutes to go in similar circumstances, and the NBA GM said to him, hey, you realize you just sent a message to not only that kid but all of his teammates that you don't think he's mentally tough enough or good enough to be on the floor when it matters most. And the message you sent to him is going to have, you know, a pretty, not irrevocable, but a pretty strong effect that's going to have a hard time, you know, reversing the course of the confidence and, you know, mental game damage that would do to a guy to send that message to somebody that might be early in their career. Whereas if you give him a chance to pull through it, you know, you're going to have an opportunity to see this kid possibly turn the corner and then use that as a turning corner moment, watershed moment to go on toward a much more fruitful career, whether it be within that specific phase of the game or just in general. And so he really felt like he had a chance, you know, to draw a line in the sand and make that a turning point. Not that he thought Doak was going to hit 5 or 6 or anything like that, but he thought, you know what, if he hits half, which Coach said he went with a hunch and thought Doak would hit half of those, then we're probably doing okay, and we're able to keep our most imposing rim-protecting defender in the game, our best rebounder in the game, and they're giving up their shot blocker, rim protector on the other side by putting in a kind of a henchman to come in and foul him. And so he said, considering it in the moment, he actually liked the way it was planning out, and honestly, in his heart of hearts, felt Doak could hit half the shot, but really was thinking more long-term big picture with the play of keeping him in the game. In hindsight, I think, you know, if he got in that situation again, he would give Doak a leash, but it would be a shorter leash, and if he promptly missed the front end of a 1-1, which is the same as a turnover, I think you think, okay, here we go again, and you probably put Mitch in the game at that point. It's not going to immediately turn into a deal where as soon as we get to the last 4 minutes of a tight game, Doak's off the floor. He's going to keep playing Doak, keep giving him chances. They've been working with Doak on subtle tweaks to his mechanics between Saturday versus Baylor and Tuesday versus Oklahoma. Coach himself was working with him extra outside of, you know, the normal practice hours on things he could do, you know, with the mechanics. He's not going to reinvent the wheel, though, in season. Coach said it literally takes thousands of shots, 6 to 8 months, to change the mechanics on a jump shot if you're talking about, you know, an overhaul and not just a little tiny minor tweak. People have brought up the point of shooting underhand, and he's not closed-minded to that, but he said that's got to come from the player. Yeah. And his desire to change to something like that. And a lot of guys feel like, you know, that's kind of embarrassing to shoot like that. To me, I don't care what it looks like leaving your hand. What's embarrassing is when you miss 5 in a row and
yes,
the number one story on SportsCenter because Polka Doke became a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is the most embarrassing thing. You should see me hit a golf ball. You think Jim Furyk swings ugly? This is hideous. But I get it out there pretty good. And so, to me, it doesn't matter if it comes overhand, underhand, or behind your back with your eyes closed and your legs tied together. If it's going in with a more regularity, you do it. But I don't think we're to that point just yet with Doak. I think he really felt like some of the mechanical tweaks that Coach Self had made with him from Saturday to Tuesday were going to work. And if you watch his first two shots earlier in the game, he hit the first with a pure swish. The second was right on the rim and bounced off. And I think after that, as we got into late-game scenarios, as Yogi Berra once said, 90% of the game is half mental. I think Doak really started to blow this thing up in his mind bigger and bigger, and it just kind of snowballed on it.
Well, and we were watching my 11-year-old son, Miller, as you know him, him and I, we were watching the game on TV, and when Udoka, I think it was the second time he was fouled there late in the last 4 minutes, they happened to catch him with the camera, and he was at the line, and before he got the ball, he said the F word in kind of, you could tell, in exasperation, like, oh, God, I got to shoot more free throws. I mean, he was defeated right there. I mean, you could see it on the tube. He said that word, and he wasn't yelling at anybody, directing anybody. It was just like, oh, geez, I got to shoot him again. My son spotted that, which wasn't great, but he said, Dad, he ain't going to make him. He doesn't even want to be there. And if that happens and the guy's already checked out mentally in regards or drowned out with negative thoughts in his head, that's something that I would think the coaches need to spot and get him out of the game, because I understand what Coach Self was doing, and I totally get it. And if KU wins, we're not even probably talking about it as much today. But I think I've heard other people say, and I think it's a fair point, is that Coach Self wants them to have confidence, show confidence in your players. They need to be out there at the end of the games. What kind of signal are you giving if you take him out in those situations? and you're worried about his confidence. But also, leaving him out there for so long to miss that many free throws also can shoot your confidence. And then also, there was a couple possessions where they were almost trying to hide Doak in the corner, where he wasn't part of the offense anyway. It was almost like, hey, if we hide him in the corner, they might not foul him. If you're going to go with Doak on the floor, be all in. Post him up. Maybe you can get an and one, makes a bucket, and then he misses the free throw. Hiding him in the corner, in my idea, I'm saying, why not put Lightfoot in there if you're not going to actually post him up?
Yeah, I think to the first part about what Doak said, I think that's interesting you noticed that. I didn't see that live, but he is a guy that I have to remind myself sometimes, he's still 18 years old.
Yes.
He's been here for 2 years, but he just turned 18 back before the season started in the fall. And, you know, his body language at times isn't what you'd want it to be. And I think that he's dealing with a lot, stuff that I couldn't ever begin to try to empathize with, moving from one continent to another when you're still in your adolescence, you know, your prime teenage years, moving away from family to pursue this dream. And, you know, it's been tough on him. I'm not making excuses for his body language or whatever, but I think what we have to still keep in mind is he's still a kid, and as much as we think, oh, man, you know, if he just put in the time shooting free throws, he should be able to hit them. Practice equals perfect, and, you know, eventually he's going to be able to hit them. And I believe a certain amount of that's true. At the end of the day, this is still a guy that's taking on so much in terms of growing up as an individual, let alone a basketball player, and feeling the weight of all that pressure as an 18-year-old, that most 18-year-olds, they might be shooting in front of 200 people in a high school gym, and he's got the whole world watching on national TV, and
yeah,
12,000 packed in the Illinois Noble. And again, that's not making excuses. Just say I see the frustration you see, and I want to, you know, hold him to the same standards we hold Devontae Graham and Speed and some of the other guys. But the simple fact of the matter is, Devontae's 5 years older and has been through these wars a little bit more, and Udoka is still on that learning curve. Now, having said that, should his free throws have been better by the time his wrist healed in June, you know, all the way through the summertime into the fall, should we have seen more progress from a guy that shot right around 40% a year ago and now he's dipped just below it? Yeah, I think he had enough time to have that, you know, obviously improve a little bit. But the simple fact of the matter is he can shoot 1,000 free throws a night in the gym they have inside McCarthy Hall, which was built for reasons just like this. The extra time put in on mechanics and form and all that. But at the end of the day, you can't simulate 12,000, you know, fans screaming, the pressure of the moment, all that. Mm-hmm. Coach can put pressure on free throw shooting by threatening these guys having to run if they miss, but it still doesn't amount to making headlines, being the top story on SportsCenter and all that. And I think right now you've got a kid that, and I could be speaking out of turn and saying this, but he's probably mentally fragile, being one of the youngest guys on this roster. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's freshmen on this team that are older than him.
Yeah.
I want to make sure folks realize that. Marcus Garrett, I think, is like a year older than him. And so he's probably still mentally fragile. I asked Coach last night, Hawk, and said, is this something where a sports psychologist steps in? And he said, absolutely. You know, that's definitely something they're not afraid to employ. And, you know, we've seen various things over the years, from hypnotists to sports psychologists sitting down and talking to these guys. You know, hopefully it doesn't have to require anything too crazy. But at the end of the day, it's a kid that's got to grow up, and it's moments like that where you have a chance to, and Coach Self gave him that chance. Was it too long of a leash? Yes, and he would tell you that. And in hindsight, he wished he would have pulled him, because the last point you made is spot on, that it had an adverse effect. Instead of being a watershed moment where he turned the corner and got better and got confident, I think his confidence now is more rattled than ever. But Coach Self, being the Hall of Famer that he is, calls him up first thing yesterday morning. Doak answers the phone. Coach says, how you doing? Are you hanging in there? I really put you out there on an island, didn't I? And Doak's like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't, Coach. No, Coach, or no, Doak, I did, and I'm sorry. I owe you an apology. I wanted you to have a chance to grind through it, but I realize I put you in a tough spot. No, Coach, no, you didn't. Well, Doak, don't worry. We're going to get this figured out. Yes, Coach, we got to get it figured out. Let's work together. Let's get this done. And so I tell you that conversation just to say, you know, it's much bigger than mechanics. It's much bigger than confidence. It's a combination of a lot of these things, and it includes a young kid growing up in a situation that's not comfortable to him right now. And so hopefully he will bite his tongue before he says other F-words that aren't free throw. I thought that was the F-word.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, yeah.
but you know, let's keep in mind, than either of us could have ever imagined at 18.
Sure.
At 18, I was trying to figure out how to get a pretty girl to go on a date with me. He's trying to make game-clenching free throws to keep 14's food alive while millions of Jayhawk fans across the world hang in the balance. So, you know, hopefully he will turn that corner. But I think that there's a lot on his plate that it's hard for the rest of us to empathize with. And I'm not making excuses or trying to. It probably sounds like that. I think he has struggled more as a free throw shooter than anyone I've ever seen in my entire basketball watching life. And I think there's a lot of factors that go into it, some of which is the size of his hand, like Shaq.
Right.
It used to be like holding a tennis ball when Shaq tried to shoot a free throw. But having said that, I do think we got to give the kid at least a little bit of benefit of the doubt. And when Coach says nobody is shooting more free throws than Udoka Azubuike right now in practice and after practice and the days between practice, he's right. You just can't simulate the same game day pressure and atmosphere in those private gym moments, and they're doing the best they can to do that, but until he hits a string of them in a game, those are the real moments that put hair on your chest that make you confident that you can rinse and repeat and do it again in similar pressure-packed situations.
Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks with us, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. All right, I want to talk about Devontae Graham. I thought Devontae played better than people give him credit for. And I was a pretty staunch defender of him after the game, and here's why. I mean, he had to guard Young virtually the entire game. When you guard Trae Young, it's a different animal than anybody else you're going to face as a point guard. You have to guard him 25, 30 feet away from the rim. I thought he did a wonderful job on Trae Young. Young only attempted 9 shots. I thought Young did a fantastic job of not forcing it. I was impressed. I thought that was Young's best game of the year because he was under control, he made his teammates better, and he took what he could get. Devontae Graham had a lot to do with that, but he spent so much energy defensively chasing Trae Young around. And then, of course, there is no depth for Kansas, and there's not another person that KU really trusts to bring the ball up the floor as a primary ball handler. He's averaging 39 minutes a game. I think the stat they said the other day, he's only set out 10 minutes in all of Big 12 play. And so it's only human nature that he's going to be tired. His legs are going to be, you know, he can't get lift on his jump shot. He was 4 of 19, 1 of 9 from 3. And people after the game will immediately point to, well, he was 4 of 19, he was 1 of 9. That's the reason we lost, or one of the reasons. And I get that. Probably that was part of it. But having said that, Graham had 11 points, 9 assists, 2 turnovers, 7 rebounds. His assist-to-turnover ratio, 4.5 to 1, is still pretty doggone good. And on top of all that, despite a bad shooting night, I think he was 4 of 18 at the time, KU was up 80-77 before they went to Polka Doke. So is some of the criticism unfair to Graham? And you talked about all the things that Doke has to deal with and on his shoulders. Devontae Graham, to me, has twice as much on his shoulders than Frank Mason had a year ago. Not to take anything away from Frank, but when Vic's not playing well right now, other guys have been inconsistent. There's so much on Devontae Graham, both offensively and defensively, plus you throw the leadership on top of that. Should we be surprised that he has an off night?
No, I think that's all well said. And, you know, for me, I think if there was any constructive criticism, it's that some of the misses were shots that they probably could have gotten one or two ball rotations later.
Yeah.
They were off balance. They were deep. They were instances where he felt like he had just enough separation to pull the trigger, and if he kept shooting, he could shoot himself out of it, which he's done. You go back to the Iowa State game, he opened 1 of 11 and couldn't throw it in the ocean, sitting in a boat. And then he kept shooting, and he went 3 for 3 in the last 4 minutes when they needed it most, and helped KU get the separation in the end and put the game on ice. And that's what we thought might happen last night. He opened 2 of 12 and thought, okay, here we go. He hit that runner in transition one-on-one against Trae Young, and that made it 3 of 13, but then he closes just 1 for his last 6 and never got it going. And I think if he looked at the shot chart, there were some threes that he caught and shot in rhythm. There were others when, you know, he probably could have gotten that shot a little bit later. And that's not unique to Devontae. I thought Legerald took a couple like that, too. And Legerald's good for a couple like that every game that are contested deep, maybe not quite in rhythm. And sometimes he hits them. He hit one to start the game at Texas, and it was no, 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 yes. And that's just kind of the way this team has gone sometimes. But I think if I was going to be constructive with Devontae, I wish he would have put his head down and driven it more in a game in which he really couldn't find his touch from the outside. He's become a better dribble penetrator, and obviously he's a great free throw shooter. He missed his first 2 the other night, but, you know, 87% on the year. I wish he would have forced the issue a little bit more. But there may have been things that Oklahoma's doing to take him away, and there may have been things that, you know, in terms of what you said, all the energy expended on the other end that kept him from being as aggressive and assertive and attacking with the dribble penetration on the offensive side. But I thought he did a terrific job defensively on Trae Young in making sure Young didn't have a free-for-all on three-point looks. And he's going to bounce back from this. I mean, Devontae, as you said, I do believe is facing more pressure this year than Frank Mason faced last year. I think that's a great point. I think the pressure of 14 straight mm-hmm. is more than the pressure of 13 straight,
yeah.
which sounds crazy because they've now earned a share with UCLA. But everybody expected this team to run away with the league this year. It was just a foregone conclusion when Tavia and Devontae came back and everybody else left within the Big 12 that they were going to win it. And then all of a sudden, the Big 12 proved to be way better than anybody thought, and every night's a meat grinder to go through. And you know, Frank had Josh. Devontae doesn't have Billy, and Billy wasn't Josh to begin with. Billy will never be Josh. Josh was a once every 5 years at Kansas talent, and once every 30 years at other places talent. And I say once every five only because there was a Wiggins. But to me, Josh is better than Wiggins. So maybe Josh is a once every 10-year talent, quite frankly. Frank had that, and Frank had Devontae, all right? So Frank was unbelievable. And Devontae is not Frank, let's be clear. Devontae has not and will not have the season that Frank had, but Frank's cast of characters allowed him to do some of what he did, including Devontae's role in that equation. You know, sometimes you wish Devontae had a Devontae.
Mm-hmm.
you
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think your point's a good one. That there's more on him right now, more on his plate. And bless his heart, man, he empties his bucket every night. So I think he'll bounce back fine. But it's frustrating to watch as a Jayhawk fan because when he is not hitting, like the Oregon game a year ago, I think Washington was the same way. I'd have to look at the box score. It's usually not one of those nights where he goes 4-for-11. It's one of those nights where he goes 1-for-11.
Right.
And it really is exacerbated. And those are the types of nights you hope he can find a way to avoid by driving it more, getting to the stripe, and getting his rhythm going there.
I know KU fans are disappointed, and certainly they feel like one slipped away against Oklahoma. And I say that KU fans, along with all sports fans, are like golfers. You, at the end of the day, and you go to your scorecard, and you shoot an 80, and your goal was to break 80. And you point to the 2-foot gimme putt you missed on hole 4, but you forget that you chipped in for eagle on hole 8. Kansas, so many people said, we blew that game. We gave it away. Yeah, you also stole one against Baylor at home that you probably shouldn't have had. And you probably stole one at West Virginia that you probably shouldn't have had. So you're still 6-2. You're still in charge of the Big 12. And we've got the big game coming up Monday night against K-State. I know the Jayhawks are not going to look past Texas A&M on Saturday, but since we have a lot of KU and K-Staters in our area, I am going to jump ahead to Monday for a huge game in the Big 12. K-State, a game back. I want to play this quick cut for you, and I'll make my point here.
You know, it was obviously the wrong thing to do to win this game. The bad decision, it was on me to win one game. I certainly did not do our team any favors.
I just missed shots, you know. I told the guys in the locker room, you know, you can put this one on me. And then the last one was on me and Svee. We were just supposed to switch it. And really that was on me because I didn't hear the switch and he knocked it down, which made it a 5-point game.
All right. The reason I play that cut is because Bruce Weber, after K-State lost to KU, he was criticized and probably rightfully so, although he was speaking from the heart probably. He was frustrated with the officiating, frustrated with a technical foul, complained about the officiating, mentioned his player Barry Brown. Many people took it for him throwing Barry Brown under the bus. Now, K-State's responded since then. There are some KU people don't like Bruce Weber because of the whining. There are K-State fans that don't like Bruce Weber because of the whining. KU loses a game to Oklahoma. They could make excuses as well. Bill Self comes out, says, my fault, my bad. You just heard it. Devontae Graham, I take all the responsibility. Nobody mentioned Doak missed free throws. That's why we lost the game. So there's a difference in philosophies of how things are handled. So that sets up the rivalry game coming up, the Sunflower Showdown, on Monday night. I'm trying to get some K-State and KU fans riled up. You see what I'm doing here, Brian. Because there are a lot of K-State fans that don't like Bruce Weber. But I've said, you need to quit worrying about that. Enjoy K-State right now because they're playing great basketball. They're fun to watch. And they have rallied the troops after that disappointing loss to Kansas. Nobody would have thunk it a few weeks ago that KU, K-State, and Manhattan would be for first place in the Big 12. I'm guessing this is going to be one heck of an atmosphere on Monday night.
Yeah, it will. And an incredible matchup. When you think about had that last 15 seconds versus K-State gone the other way, that it would be K-State in sole possession of first right now and Kansas looking up at them.
True.
Man, it makes it even bigger. It's razor thin, the difference between these two teams in league play right now. It's funny you played those clips. I hadn't thought about it that way, the way you just phrased it, and I don't think there's anything further I have to say. You said it for me on how well Kansas handled accepting accountability and not pointing fingers. But I will say, I think Bruce Weber's done a terrific job. I think that this team is not only scary on Monday night and the rest of this season, but they are especially scary to the possibility of 15 straight should Kansas be in position for it.
Yes.
I don't know if 14 straight will happen or not, but I know Coach Self feels like, look at Barry Brown, Kamau Stokes, and Dean Wade as seniors, Cartier Jada, a third-year sophomore, and think about how good K-State's going to be heading into next year.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, there's obvious concern there, too. I think you got to tip your cap to the job Bruce Weber's done. He's been terrific. And I think he probably regrets the way things came across after the Kansas game, him running over to Fukushima. Kind of having a little bit of a public display of frustration there and the way it played out in the newspapers and all that. But the job he's done in getting his team to right now be the hottest team in the conference ever since that moment certainly is one you have to tip your cap to. But, you know, Bill Self's been doing this for so long that he's the first ballot Hall of Famer, and he's had the greatest streak of consecutive conference dominance in the history of the sport because, like we said, you know, he takes victories in stride and passes out the compliments and you know, deflects attention and credit his direction toward those around him, including his staff and players. And then when things don't go well, he owns up to it. And I think that's the mark of a true champion and a guy whose players will run through a wall for him because they know at the end of the day he's got their back.
Well said. KU at K-State Monday night. Before that, Saturday, 3:30 on ZNI 6.3 Lake. Big 12 SEC Challenge, A&M in Lawrence to take on KU. Quickly, the off-the-wall question. Have you ever shot a granny-style free throw? And if so, what was the result?
Not in a real game, but sure, we practice them all the time. Do it for Doke at all, because I think he gets the ball softer on the rim. When you think about his trajectory and his release point as a 7-footer, and then the fact that he's trying to hold the ball with these really big hands, it's squirting left by a foot and a half, you know, the rim. It's firing hard at the backboard at times, where if there wasn't a backboard, it might hit one of the Rock Chalk dancers. You know, it's one of those deals where just kind of get it up soft and floating on the rim, and maybe you'd have a better chance to have one bounce in for you. But as Coach Self said, that's got to come from Doak. He's never going to ask a guy, regardless of what we're talking about, to completely change a fundamental so radically unless it's the player's idea. And a lot of the players, you know, feel like that would be too radical and it would be embarrassing. But I know this. Doak hardly slept, you know, on Tuesday night to Wednesday morning, and I'm sure he'd do whatever it took to make sure that feeling never one he has to experience again. So I don't think that change is coming anytime soon, but I certainly see the merit in it, and guys have done it as recently as last year in the D1 ranks. So I'd be real curious to see if the overhand struggles continue, if they would possibly attempt something like that, because I, for one, I see a lot of problems to it.
Yep, I agree with you. Hey, sorry I kept you a little bit longer than normal. We had a lot to cover there, a crazy game the other night. Brandon, have a great call on Saturday and Monday. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, that great open got us off to a good start. So we can spend extra time anytime. We got that plan, buddy.
That sounds
good. Have a
great
week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5700.